Blog Talk Radio.
My co-host with me, Christopher Hughes.
Hello.
So today we're going to talk about kinship foster care. What is it? How does it affect families? And if it's something that you should consider. So Chris, you know, we became kinship foster parents almost 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years in April. And needless to say, we have been through somewhat of a journey. And kinship foster care, for those of you who don't know, kinship foster care deals with taking care of a relative, whether it's your grandchild, your niece, your nephew, or a close family friend. So you, in turn, become that person's guardian. Of course, there's also state involvement as well, unless you have adopted that child. And we haven't gotten to that point. So my question to you, Chris, is the journey. You know, what's your thoughts about this journey as far as the knowledge that we have gained? Do you think there's more that we should know? Do you think the amount of things that we have learned was useful to us?
There's always more that can be learned to better someone's situation. For our case, I think that the classes that we've gone to better prepare us for the situation at hand for the kids were very helpful. Unfortunately, there are some things that we're not really touched on that we had to learn on our own and gain from our own experience. And in that was a challenge in itself, but, you know, we work through it best we can. I'm pretty sure there will be additional challenges as time goes on with it. And all in all, I think it's kind of a bittersweet thing for kinship families that for whatever reason, the sibling, child, family member, friend, who has, for whatever reason, not been able to take care of their child or children, are either unwilling to get their stuff together or because gripped by, I don't know, alcoholism or drugs or what it can be, can't reach that ability to get their stuff together to help their children out. So it's a blessing. In the case for our daughter, to have us, for her children, to make sure they're okay, and I'm pretty sure other kinship families out there deal with the fact of stepping up and being there for the child or children at hand.
So, and it is true, I've met quite a few grandparents on this journey, some that work in actual state agencies, who basically said that they wouldn't even take on the responsibility of their grandchildren for whatever reason. And you know, I didn't have an offense to that because, you know, each person is different and each person knows what they can take on. I find it funny that now that we're in it, there was a lot that we didn't know going into this, especially with not knowing a lot of the things that our grandsons have went through. But I still believe that we did the right thing but it is something to hear people who work for different agencies that deal with foster care children who absolutely unequivocally say that they wouldn't take on their grandchild. And that is disheartening because of the fact that they see these children that come through these agencies and they see the need for them. So, you know, it is disheartening, but I do understand. And that's why I started the Young Program, because I never want a grandparent who's sort of presented with, hey, your grandchildren are in state custody, can you take them, and not have that whole thought process of, I have to take these children. There is a choice. And a lot of times I believe that grandparents don't feel like they do have a choice.
Well, on that, the whole aspect of a grandparent to me is someone who's taking care of their children, and hopefully that child children have the sense that when they start their own family, they have the wherewithal and financial backing to take care of their children. Now, in most kinship foster situations, again, for whatever reason, that child or person not able to take care of their kids, it usually is on the grandparent or, as you said, auntie, cousin, friend, who steps up to the plate to help out with that. But there's a bittersweet situation that builds in the fact that, particularly for grandparents, that here it is, I've raised my children, I've done my diligence as a parent, and my responsibility as a parent, and, you know, my child is now off to do his or her thing, and it is, God forbid, that they decide to have children but are not able to take care of their children. And I have kind of a responsibility in the fact of, well, this is the person I raised. He or she can't get their stuff together, so I need to step in. But for those that don't, they should be vilified for it. But again, like you said, that's a choice. And they feel that they've done their due diligence to take care of their children and don't have the means, patience, financial backing to take care of their grandchildren, they shouldn't be vilified for that.
True, they shouldn't be vilified for it, but what we're seeing so often is that you get vilified either way. And what I mean is that if you don't take the children, you seem to get vilified because here was the opportunity to take these kids and help these kids out. But then we have the opposite thing where when you do take the children, well, you're enabling that person. You're making it so that they can't do what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to stand on their own two feet. And my question is, where is the happy medium? Where is the part where it says that you stepped up and took care of the children, not being a crutch for that person who needs the help? And it seems like the children seem to get lost on both sides of the issue.
Well, that's the thing. The whole reason for kinship foster is the benefit of the children. That's for most of anything. Those that choose not to look at it as that or can it be, that's on them. You know, if you presented, the whole point was to take care of our two grandkids at the time, and then the third one came, and now they have all three grandkids. And it was a benefit to make sure they were taken care of, they were all right, they were protected, they were safe. For whatever reason, our daughter didn't have in mind to do it, or supposedly what she felt was raising the kids, yet wasn't enough that it warranted that Child Protective Services was called in to have the kids taken. We stepped in to take on the battle for that to make sure the kids were taken care of. Now, anyone has anything to say negative about that? For me, I can really give a dang because it's our choice to make sure our grandkids were taken care of and were safe and were protected, and we chose that. If that's a problem with someone, okay, that's on them, but they all have to worry about that. For those kinship families that unfortunately go through the same scrutiny as we've gone through or whatever, God bless y'all. Keep your heads up. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Definitely, Hesitancy Teams Health Partners and other organizations are out there to help you battle through all your situations that are challenging and gets harder every day for the children that you take care of.
So, by the way, join us if you can. Our line is 602-753-1692. Join the conversation. We're speaking on kinship foster care. Now, speaking of kinship foster care, and I know that January of this year, new provisions came in, and we sort of have been under the gun trying to fix some of the things that were not fixed or weren't addressed, if you will, by previous licensing people. And we are licensed foster parents. We became licensed. We went through all the classes. We had extra classes in order to make sure, one, we understood what we were sort of getting into, so it wasn't just a case of us taking the kids, but understanding all these people who would somehow become a part of our lives indirectly and directly with whatever needs the children had, but also because one of us had to actually sacrifice our career to be at home to have these meetings with these people that would be coming in and out of our homes. So we had to find another way to bring income into our homes. And it is a huge sacrifice. It's a huge sacrifice when you become a foster parent, period. But kinship foster care is just another dynamic. And I know that the state has sort of placed it in the foster care realm, but it's still it's different. You're dealing with your family, and you're dealing with all the emotions that come with taking on family, and it's not a smooth sailing kind of thing. You know, foster care in itself is definitely a tough area, but when you add the kinship part to it, where you're dealing with family and you're dealing with the fact that this person is either related to you in some sort of way, or you know, you've watched this child grow up, or whatever the case may be, there is a connection there. And it's definitely something to sort of take yourself out of your original role to be placed in another one.
True.
And for me personally, it was a really hard, probably first 6 months to a year from becoming, you know, their grandmother completely to sort of their grandmom slash mom. And it was difficult because I still wanted to find out things as to why the children ended up in care, in foster care, or in DCS custody. But I still had to make sure that their needs were taken care of. So that, of course, took precedence over my whole thought process of my grandchildren have come to live with me and my life is turned upside down and I don't know what to do. It became more so these children have needs and I have to make sure they're met and all questions will eventually get answered or may not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, where we basically were.
Mm-hmm.
So in all of that, making sure that you meet all of the standards of the state is definitely a huge issue as well.
Well, again, most kinship foster families, lack of a better term, there's a lot of hoops you have to go through in order to make sure that you're qualified and that you keep the licensing upright for continuing to be a kinship foster. Again, those are also challenging too. And more provisions being added don't help the situation as a family to keep things going on because majority of your time you're coming out of your own pocket to get to places or to pay for certain classes in order to keep your licensing valid.
You know, you brought up a good point. When we started this journey, we literally caught a cab to our PS MAP classes. Those are the classes that you go through for foster care. We didn't have a car. We literally had to be there every week, like clockwork, to sit there for those, 3 hours or so, catching a cab back and forth, and we had to come up with this money to do these, you know, to get there to these classes, and it wasn't a reimbursement. It came out of your pocket, and luckily, with my research, I found out about the grandparent stipend, which is a basically it's an allowance of money for grandparents who are not licensed that, you know, depending on how many children you get, I believe, $150 or $125 per child. No, I take it back. It was $75. I don't know, but it's a certain amount of money. Don't quote me on the actual amount because I haven't had it in a while, but it's a certain amount of money that you're getting. It's far more money than you would get if you're unlicensed with children, because I think the max amount of money you get unlicensed is probably equal to like $20, depending on the kids. So, and finding out about the grandparent stipend, I applied for it, and I, you know, I received it, and I had it up until we became licensed, which became licensed officially in October. And so that, you know, our rates went up according to, you know, how many children we had and what issues the children had. But a lot of grandparents going in this, they don't know about these things. So I created the Young Program. And as young grandparents, observing, understanding, nurturing grandchildren. And the program does start off with young grandparents because we are young grandparents, but our program is definitely open to all grandparents who may have questions about just foster care or how to navigate through it, because we're in this. So we want to be able to help any other grandparents or kinship families or regular foster parents who are going through this and have questions and wonder about the different things that they can and can't do. And our journey has been something because we had a lot of obstacles in our way, such as when our grandsons first got here, we weren't allowed to cut their hair because our daughter said she didn't want their hair cut. So something that is just would be normal for any, you know, grandparent to do, we weren't allowed to do it. And so for the longest, the question was, why have this hindrance there? Unless, of course, you're going to provide us with the hair care products to take care of their hair. And we weren't getting that, so we didn't understand it. And then it got to the point where one of our grandsons started pulling out his hair. So we finally got the green light to cut their hair. But just to have such a hindrance in your way, and in normal circumstances as a grandparent, and this is your grandchildren, that you are supposed to be able to have rights, but in essence you don't, because these children are, in essence, in state custody, and they just happen to be living in your household.
Right, and with that, I know there's a frustration by a lot of kinship foster families in that you only have so much to say or so much power to hook up with outside the fact that you are basically a babysitter for these kids. Deal with the fact of the kids still being wards of the state, and ask that the state, depending upon where you're at, still give leeway to the parent, even though they're not there to take care of them like they're supposed to. They still have rights to decide what the kid can and can't do in certain situations. And in that, that's kind of a frustration thing for the kinship foster parents, dealing with the fact that if I'm taking on this child and children 24/7, providing them shelter, food, providing them means, medical means if necessary, something as simple as getting a haircut should be in the equation too, and sometimes that's not the case.
Well, I can't say that this almost 2 years, because it'll be 2 years old with this whole thing, April 24th. It hasn't been all bad. It hasn't been all good, but it hasn't been all bad. We definitely learned how to sort of be our own advocates. And, of course, we have our own advocacy nonprofit, so it was a no-brainer to be advocates. But to actually have your first clients be your grandchildren was something in itself. And learning about the various agencies who could help these children.
Mm-hmm.
The protocol, if you will, is to wait on the state to make a move. A lot of times you can't afford to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because we had our youngest grandchild. She came in, and we had no idea about her health issues. She was premature. And we didn't know that she had an arterial septal defect, or she had GI issues or any of the sorts. She went into failure to thrive. And had we waited for all the protocols and things like that, she probably wouldn't be here today.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, you know, a year later, she's a year old now, she's beautiful, and she's definitely thriving. She's still up under doctor's care, of course, but it you know, there are some times where you actually have to decide which side of the fence you're going to be on. Are you going to be the foster parent side where you're following all the rules, or are you going to be the grandparent side? And a lot of times when it comes to me and the outings that I have with the kids as far as doctor's appointments and things like that, I am always on the grandparent side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yes, we have them through kinship foster care, but I was their grandparent before I became their foster parent.
Well, I think that's kind of the sense of thing that we hear from other kinship fosters, the fact that we were parents first.
Mm-hmm.
And everything.
Yes.
We were parents first. We raised our kids. We tried to make sure that they were intelligent and independent and didn't have to want for anything, because they'll have the tools to go out in the world and do what they had to do to take care of themselves and their household. And hopefully, depending upon who they choose to be with, that person will be a helpmeet to them and continue with helping them to take care of the household. And if times got tough, they would work together to, you know, continue on. Fortunately, the state doesn't really recognize your contribution as a parent or seem to care about your contribution as a parent. They're only concerned about the welfare of the kids. And I understand that to a point, but if it is the fact that in some aspects you've chosen us not only out of necessity, but the fact that we raised kids before, we seem to be a good fit as far as not having any blemishes of, what, court records or done any, unlawful
criminal background.
Exactly. You know, we haven't tried to con people or we held up people, or we were in jail for a particular offense or whatever. If we've showed through our actions as just viable citizens, showing that, look, this person or this couple work every day, they do their best to try to take care of the household, they pay their bills, car note, whatever, they, you know, try to take care of the kids and stuff like that. All that should be in contention as far as making sure that, hey, you know, they seem to be viable parents or whatever, they should be able to do a good job to take care of these kids. But in that, it seems like it's still kind of a crutch of the fact that, well, regardless of you being parents and you having all this good
common sense.
Yeah, good common sense behind you, you know, we still need you to do this, this, and this, you know. And I figured those kinship families that deal with people that's in the organization already who see all these kids go through the system every day and told that, well, I wouldn't do it, you know, they should see that hardship or whatever because they see that frustration from the people that they work with or organizations that they got to work for.
I didn't think of it like that. I didn't think of the fact, you know, it's sort of, it is interesting when you come from that aspect of these people are seeing day in and day out the people that come through there, and a lot of times they're dog tired. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're dealing with three people up under six, so, and our children basically are grown, so it was a huge change in our household, and it's not just our household. There are plenty of other households that are affected like that. And I remember when we were in our class that so many kinship people that were in that class that had these children, whether they were teenagers or brand new babies, and how their lives got turned upside down, and they were just trying to make the best of it. And at times, it just seemed like we all were just barely treading water. And I'll be honest with you, listeners, we have had our moments where we truly thought that we weren't going to make it to 6 months, let alone almost 2 years, because there was so much that came with this, not just the boys in themselves, but dealing with all the state agencies as well. We still got a little bit of time left. If you want to join the conversation, phone number is 602-753-1692. I just, you know, I'm thinking as we're getting closer to our 2 years, especially now sort of going through severance, which we never thought that this was something that would be happening.
Definitely was a long time coming with it, before the process started.
It was a long time coming, but it's something that I never thought that was going to happen. I honestly thought that, you know, our daughter would get it together and the kids would go back.
That was the hope, but unfortunately she's not ready. She's not set yet.
So because of that, you know, we have a whole new thing coming down where we will be official parents of these children. And it is something to sort of get used to. And, you know, there's still that relationship that the children will have with their mother. But I guess at some point it will be awkward for everyone involved because we have, in a sense, become the parents. And she has, in a sense, become this bio parent and not the parent, you know. So it's really interesting, and the whole thing is that when it comes to kinship foster care or foster care in general, I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for someone who just thinks that it's a cakewalk. It's not a cakewalk. It's definitely for somebody who is really going to be dedicated to these children, and whether they are kin to you or not. All of these children that are in foster care, and it's thousands of children in foster care, they need people who are going to care for them, and they're going to be there for them and advocate for them and love them. So with that, you know, I know that our journey basically it's just beginning because we're getting down to the severance part of things, and things are going to be really real. Our next week, we're going to be doing this again next week. We probably won't be talking about kinship foster care. I have no idea at the moment what our subject is going to be, but it's going to be something of interest. Hopefully we will have some people, you know, join us on the line to give us a conversation and dialogue. It's great to be back, definitely great to be back. It has been a journey. I'm so sorry that we've been away for so long, but we are going to be here giving out information. So, it has been a pleasure, and I thank you again, my co-host, Mr. Chris Hughes.
Okay.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.